I just want to say that I'm going to be co-presenting today with Cynthia Silva Parker from the Interaction Institute for Social Change. She is a consultant working with us at the Boston Public Health Commission on all of our racial justice and health equity work. We'd like to say that Cynthia is the glue that holds a lot of these efforts together. So I'm going to just talk broadly about the commission's work and commitment to health equity and racial justice, and then Cynthia will come up and talk most specifically about the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee at the commission. We have no disclosures. The Boston Public Health Commission is the city's health department. Our current mission is to protect, preserve, and promote the health and well-being of all Boston residents, particularly the most vulnerable. The work that we're going to be talking with you today actually includes expanding this mission statement to include a vision statement and guiding principles that make racial justice and health equity an explicit part of our work and a part of the values that inform all of the work that the commission does. This past year, the commission identified three overarching goals around reducing the overall rate and the racial and ethnic health inequities in low birth weight, obesity, and chlamydia, and to reduce these, to have measurable reductions in these over the next 5 years. And setting these goals is really just the latest development of the health equity work and the commitment that the commission has to reducing inequities across the city. But that work has been going on for a while, and I'm gonna give you a short history of some of that work right now. So in 2005, the mayor of Boston identified eliminating racial and ethnic health disparities as a citywide priority and created a task force of public health and healthcare representatives, as well as representatives from other sectors, to really look at, gather data of the evidence of disparities across our city, as well as develop recommendations of how we can effectively eliminate racial and ethnic disparities in health. Out of this task force work was created the Disparities Project, which was really charged to implement the recommendations of the reports of the task force. And it really focused on distributing small mini grants to organizations across the city that were doing very disease-specific programmatic work looking at racial and ethnic disparities in health. In 2007, the Disparities Project changed its name to the Office of Health Equity and was really institutionalizing health equity work at the commission and sat in the executive office. That same year, the commission received its second iteration of REACH funding from the CDC. Many of you are probably familiar with the CDC's program, REACH program, and the commission had in 2000 received a REACH 2010 grant, which really focused on community-based and case management work around breast and cervical disparities between black and white women in the city. This new funding, though, named the commission as a center in the, for the excellence in the elimination of disparities, and shifted the focus from disease outcomes and disease-specific work to really looking at the social determinants of health and root causes of health inequities, and really charged the commission to be doing more policy work and distributing grants in the community. So in 2007 was really when current work within the commission as well, these two offices that were really charged with looking at disparities were really rethinking the way that they were going to be doing disparities work, and shifted the language from really talking about disparities to talking about inequities, and from focusing on the outcomes and disparities in outcomes to really looking at the root causes of inequities, particularly structural racism. So in 2008, the Office of Health Equity and the REACH program joined together to create the Center for Health Equity and Social Justice, which continues to sit in the executive office. So it is able to support all bureaus and all programs in the health department to really work on health equity and social justice issues. The directors of the Center for Health Equity and Social Justice worked with other staff from across the commission in 2008 to establish the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee. This wasn't actually the first time that the commission had such a working group. In 2005, there was the first anti-racism internal working group, which coincided with mandatory trainings for all commission staff around undoing racism that were led by the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond, as well as Visions. Those trainings were mandatory in 2005 and 2006, and around that time that the trainings were ending, the internal working group also was not sustainable over the next couple of years. So in 2008, we really worked to revitalize that committee and make it an institutional part of our racial justice work. So the following year, in 2009, the Center for Health Equity and Social Justice developed a plan to really mainstream health equity through the organization. We had been doing a lot of work in the community, but recognized that we needed to be leading by example. We needed to be examining our own internal policies and programs and practices so that all commission programs, and not just our office and not just select programs in the commission, but everyone in our organization was promoting health equity and racial justice through their work. At the same time, the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee was pulling together what they call an organizational change process to really examine our mission statement, to identify guiding principles, and make our organization an explicit anti-racist and racial justice organization, and thinking about how to analyze internal policies and procedures to ensure that we are working towards racial justice. Which brings me to, just this past year, these two efforts joined together to create the Racial Justice and Health Equity Initiative at the Commission, which is an organizational transformation initiative. It's internally focused. Its goals are to align all of the Commission's programs, policies, and practices within racial justice and health equity frameworks, as well as to build the capacity of the organization and of our staff to effectively reduce inequities across the city. So this initiative is very large and is the work of cross-agency collaborations. There are four entities within the organizations that are leading this work. However, there are representatives from across all bureaus and programs that are part of different components of the work. So the collaborating groups are the Center for Health Equity and Social Justice, which I have spoken about, the Consortium for Professional Development, which is also a newer entity at the organization that coordinates professional development opportunities for staff, the Senior Leadership Team, which is a committee of all bureau directors and executive level staff at the commission, and then the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee, which Cynthia will be talking to you a little bit more about. But it's a cross-agency committee. So this initiative has four major components. The first is planning to achieve these overarching goals. So the three goals around low birth weight, obesity, and chlamydia, and reducing inequities in those are a major part of this initiative. And so the senior leadership team is taking the lead on developing action plans to achieve those goals. The second process is this organizational change process that the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee, we call it ARAC, is leading. And that, as I said, involves developing a new organizational identity statement as well as action planning around internal policies and procedures. The fourth piece is a large professional development series, which is led by the Center for Health Equity and Social Justice, as well as the Consortium for Professional Development. And this will be a mandatory training series for all staff around concepts of health equity and racial justice, as well as strategies and tools that they can integrate into their daily work so that we are really integrating these concepts and strategies throughout the organization. And then the last piece is just ongoing collaboration and coordination of all of these efforts, which is all of the lead entities within the organization are providing support to really institutionalize these efforts. And so each one of these components has design planning and implementation stages. And on each one of them, we're on the design and planning stages of all of these and hope to be implementing work throughout the 2011 and 2012. So I'm now going to turn things over to Cynthia to talk a little bit more about our Anti-Racism Advisory Committee.
Thanks. So good. Thanks. So I entered the picture shortly after what I'm going to say here, which is when ARAC was formed, it had a very interesting and tricky charge to review, assess, develop recommendations on policies, practices, structures, systems. Now that's a lot of work, but catch the clause at the end, in an inclusive process that engages all commission staff. So there were folks on the committee who really focused in on the front end of that charge and folks who really focused in on the back end of that charge. And the committee was formed in 2008 in the spring. I had representation from almost the entire organization. And very importantly, as much as the charge was what they were going to do, they were very clear about what this committee was not. It was not an ombudsman committee. It was not a place to come bring your individual experience of discrimination or what have you. And folks struggled because members of that committee were getting people saying, well, this happened to me, and can your committee do something about it? So the individuals have had to balance the charge of this group and help redirect folks to the internal processes to deal with discrimination complaints and challenges and so forth. But Actually, let me back up. Before I even show you who's on this committee, if this were your committee and your public health commission, who would be on it? What kinds of folks? That's not a rhetorical question. I know this is after lunch for some of you. Who would you put on a committee like this?
The Director of Health.
The Director of Health, so head folks here. Who else? Right, so statistics, surveillance, research, that kind of capacity. Who else?
Representative, some kind of representative from your people of color staff.
People of color on staff. And in fact, this committee represents all of those folks. There are, the ideal mix that they're looking for is at least there are six operating bureaus, infectious diseases and emergency services and so forth. They're looking for at least two people from each bureau, at least four from the executive offices, and a balance in the sum total so it's not all bureau or all executive staff. Diversity around race, gender, ethnicity, and organizational role. There's kind of a diagonal slice, so you've got people who are doing direct care. You've got the medical director. You've got people from research and evaluation. You've got, used to be three, but now two members of the senior leadership team who are part of this group. And one of the really critical things about making it function well is that everybody shows up as an individual who is in Boston. Most people who work at the commission are also residents. So they show up as residents of Boston who work at the commission who are concerned about health equity and racial justice. Titles left at the door. So people show up with their perspective, but not as a liaison to, and not as a representative of, and not speaking on behalf of, say, the senior leadership team or the research department or the this or the that. So when the team makes decisions and needs to communicate out, they have to be very deliberate about who do we need to connect with, who do we need to collaborate with, what's the message we're carrying forth, and how do we really operate as peers so that, you know, regardless of role and title, we're all in this conversation and we're building something together. And one of the things that was interesting, the first round that the team was assigned by the executive director, I think with help from some of the senior leaders, they were assigned for a two-year term, so to speak, and this summer the group went through a process, a very grassroots process of opening up membership to whoever wanted to show up. You need to be willing to, you need to be able to commit 8 to 12 hours a month. You need your supervisors, sign off in writing, and you need to be committed to this work, full stop. No kind of screening, no kind of interviewing, no kind of the first come first. They were a little worried they would have too many people. So they decided we're just going to take people based on when they send in their statement of interest. Because if you're interested enough to say, I want to sign up, and you're going to go through the work of getting your supervisor to support you spending 8 to 12 hours a month on this work, we can presume that there's capacity to work with. And so that was a come one, come all. The committee was 22. After those two-year mark, they lost a few people to now they're kind of alumni core. And they're again at 22, not by design, but it just kind of turned out that way. And every 6 months, they'll keep reopening. So just in terms of the nitty-gritty, who you have is really important. And the mix here is more people of color proportionally than you would find in the commission as a whole. Not surprising, and lots of capacity, lots of passion. In the beginning, they did a lot of work around building shared vocabulary, building relationships, clarifying their charge, that front-end charge and the back-end charge, and then realizing after some training and some initial support from their trainers, they were self-facilitating and said, hey, wait a minute, we need somebody else to help us move forward. And that's where my colleagues and I enter the picture. So there are some critical working assumptions that have made this made it possible for them to develop this the process that Rebecca started to describe. Collaboration as a fundamental. We've got to talk to each other. We've got to share information. We've got to be transparent about decision making. We've got to engage leadership up, down, and sideways, not just formal positional leaders, but people who have influence and who have the capacity to help an idea take root and a way of thinking to take root in various parts of the organization. And then to really take a perspective that is about learning and capacity building. How are we building the skills? And that's why professional development has become such a big part of this initiative. It's one thing to say we have a goal. It's one thing to say we have a commitment to anti-racism and to racial justice. But then how are we as an institution, how is the commission supporting people in building the awareness and building the skills they need to actually back that commitment up with real action? And so in terms of a methodology, what we IISC brought to the party was a way of thinking about, well, what's the big picture? What's the context? What's going on in the city, in the state that could help or support the work? What are some of the, who are all the stakeholders from staff and board and partners in the community and residents who take part of various services, other city departments and so forth? And then asking three really simple questions. Where are we right now? Some assessment of the current state of affairs, internal capacity, levels of awareness, levels of resource available, levels of will to move an agenda forward. Where do we want to get? And their answer to where do we want to get really did start with a conversation about how do we want to be as an employer? What kind of organization do we want to be? But you very quickly say, well, and we are here for what purpose? To have an impact on the community. So it's a very interesting lesson learned about not drawing a fast line between internal work and external work, because all the internal organizing is about helping to produce healthy communities. So there's a little bit of always in these kinds of initiatives, there's always a little of that back and forth about, are we talking about in here? Are we talking about out there? And the answer is it's all of it. And so then the purple arrow is, how do we get from today where we are to a place where we are an organization that is not only committed, but capable in actually moving the needle on issues of equity in the city of Boston in this case. And Rebecca talked to you about the four tracks that have emerged. I'm going to talk to you just a tiny bit more about what's in that organizational change process track. The first part was a number of months just designing, well, getting that big picture fleshed out, getting the answer to all those questions laid out. Asking ourselves, why does this matter to us? That's what that organizational identity statement is meant to establish. Why is racism on the table for a public health department? Why is health equity important to talk about? And what does it mean for us if we're going to be excellent at doing what we do? This is not an add-on. This is not a nice idea some other time to think about it. But it's fundamental to our mission to serve and to promote health across the city. And once having established that, to ask the folks, both internally and external stakeholders, what supports us being successful in that? And what could get in our way, and where do we have to tighten up our act? So we're in the process now of a staff survey is about to get launched that's built around this statement. The board's about to get a look at the statement. External stakeholders will get a look at the statement, and everybody's going to get an opportunity to weigh in and say, well, here's what we think the commission's doing well, or parts are doing well, and here's what we think you need to think about, how you're doing the work, how you're conceptualizing the work, what are the assumptions that drive if we do this, that will happen, and it will move the needle, as well as how do we do hiring and personnel development, and how do we manage all of those internal some of the things that our first speaker was talking about in terms of regulations, the ways in which work gets done and the quality controls and all that. So a lot of stuff on the agenda. And then from there, the policy and action phase is to commission some teams to really pick out of all the data that comes out, what are the things that are going to be high leverage for us to work on? And again, to work on it collaboratively, to work on it across time, to work on it in a way that is skills-based and sort of action-oriented. And so several lessons learned. One, if I couldn't say anything else, you expect this work to be uncomfortable and help people understand it is not easy to talk about race. It is not easy to do the historical learning about how race affects place, affects health. And uncomfortable is essential. Avoiding discomfort will mean no progress on this work. So just be ready for it. Build your own skills of your committees to think, to talk, to wrestle with the ideas, to get settled in their own kind of sense of identity. Because we're asking people to change their narrative about how communities got the way they are, how people got to be who they are, how families got to be, you know, situated in their communities and situated in our socioeconomic structure. You're asking people to undo all that kind of thinking, and you got to help them find a new narrative that they can find their place in. So there's a lot to be said about understanding that level of kind of, I don't know, the psychosocial aspects of it, as well as the skills-based access of it. And make sure there's space for personal growth as well as professional growth. Because again, we're asking people to do a lot of work to undo their thinking about what it means to really close equity gaps and really understand the sources of it. Communicate early and often. Design for the whole person, not just the left brain, not just their hands, but their hearts, their identities. They're in really call forth the passion that is really latent in so many people and so many organizations, that if people could really be grasped by A, the injustices, and B, the possibility that change could happen, fabulous things can happen. So pay attention to those kinds of things as you design and as you try to unlock the potential to really not just do what I was hearing someone talk about earlier and doing work that kind of deals at the level of outcome, but if you really want to sustain closing those gaps, you got to get underneath. What are the root causes? How is racism in particular driving the phenomena you see in places that drive the kind of social determinants of health? And if you can't get under there, it's really going to be hard to close those gaps. So I would say it's hard work, it's joyful work, it's so definitely worth doing. And it's a real joy to be able to work with Rebecca and her colleagues as they take this on very forthrightly and very powerfully. So thank you. And many acknowledgments, just to point out, there's about 50 people between all the committees I've worked with at the commission and many, many more. So this is just a few of them. Thanks.